I want to say thanks for everybody that came and did a part of that. It's always a blessing to see that the people of this church take a ownership in what we do and try to make it a place of excellence. And so thank you very much if you came and gave and spent time yesterday. It's going to take me a little while to get used to these lights right here. They shine on me. I can't see y'all eyeball to eyeball, and I like to look at you when I'm talking to you. So aren't the lights looking better? They're hanging. We just can't turn them on yet. So one day we're going to have a lighting service here, you know. But until then, guess what? We have the light. We have Jesus, the light of the world. And I got a message today. I'm going to go ahead and put this down, Dale. Testing? Yeah. Can you hear me now? Okay. You can go ahead, Wally, and start what we're going to do. I have a sermon that I did about 15 years ago. Most of you know that I was a mechanic for 30 years of my life. Started out ever since I was 14 years old. And the first thing I did, I had to build my first car when I was 14. If I was going to drive, I had to build something to get it because nobody was going to give me anything. So I built one. But it taught me a great lesson because out of that time, I probably built about 30 cars in my lifetime from nothing to what they were. Some of them turned out to be very good show cars. Some of them turned out to be just basic junk that you drive around the street. But nevertheless, I had the opportunity of doing it and knowing the joy of seeing something to be restored. And I was thinking about that when I was doing this sermon, and it's about restore something is to take something and bring it back to the original state that it was in. And that's okay. A lot of people do that. I have friends, and they do antique cars and classic cars, and every nut, bolt, material, the glass, everything on it is back to the original place of what it was all about. But then I was thinking about, you know what? God does something better than that to us. He brings us to a place of restoration. And restoration literally means that you take something that was and you restore it back into something better than it was, with newer stuff, and make it more important. And they're showing some of the pictures right here of some of the things that I had found. That little truck that you just saw, I bought that, and I told Janice I was going to buy a truck. And she said, well, what color is it? I said, well, it don't have a color. And she said, well, what kind of motor's in it? Well, it don't have a motor. And she said, well, what kind of interior has it got in it? It don't have an interior. She said, well, what kind of wheels is on it? And I said, it don't have wheels. And she said, how much are you giving for that thing? And I said, it's only $8,000. Well, venture to say, we had a real puzzling time at my house for about a month. And I told her, I promise you, this thing is going to turn out nice, but it's going to take some time to do what we're doing. And that was it that you just saw, this Corvette right here. I came home with it one day, and that really made for a good time. You can see where the rats and the acorns and all the stuff had put it. They eat most of the electrical stuff off. But this is some of them, and this was in the stages of building it, and then I painted it, had to sand it down and repolish it and do everything. But that little red truck today is sitting in Missouri in a big restaurant, much like the Bass Pro Shop in the interval part of going into the restaurant, and it's got a turnstile on it, and that little truck is sitting in there spinning round and round. If you go in there to eat, do what? Yes, you heard what she said, we got money, you know. It takes money. You have to spend money to make money. But nevertheless, it's there. Somebody's getting the joy. But this one right here, I call Miss Daisy. Miss Daisy, I found in a warehouse in Natchez, Mississippi. Miss Daisy was a movie car at one time. She was in two movies, once as a sheriff's car. You can just stop it on one of those if you want, Wally. But while she was in the movie, she was in a museum in Longview, Texas for 40 years. So she left the museum, went to the movies, and then she went to this warehouse. And this warehouse had ran down, and the guy was losing it. He lost interest in that car. He wasn't going to fool with it anymore. And I found out about it, and I said, well, I want it. I told him on the phone, I want it. And he gave me a price on it. So I called him, and I said, I want it. But I didn't have the money. But I had already bought me another truck, so I said, I'm going to sell my truck, and I'm going to go buy this car. So I sold my truck, drove all the way to Natchez, and I go up there, and the guy says, well, I failed to tell you, if you're going to get this car, you have to buy another car with it. You can't have just one. You got to buy two. I'm going to sell both of them or none of them. And by the way, the price is no longer what I told you. It's going to be double that. So I'm standing there flabbergasted like, I can't believe that. I just sold my truck. And now you're going to hit me on this? And I said, okay, I'll still take it. So I went in the place where this car was sitting. It was sitting in an old building. The other car was pretty well painted and all fixed up, but it was a gazillion pieces. But this car was sitting in the corner. It was sitting over there, and it had big old cardboard boxes sitting on top of it. All the windows was knocked out of it. They had dirt about this thick on the fenders of it, and it was just pushed way back, and you could tell it had been there a long time. I said, how long has that car been sitting there? And he said, about 14 years. It hadn't been started. And I said, okay. So we got a tractor, and I hooked a chain to it, and I was going to pull it out. And I said, well, I better look and see what's on the inside. So I went and I opened the hood on it, and when I opened the hood, the pack rats had brought beer cans and dominoes and paint paddles and filled it up. You couldn't even see the motor in it. And it's like, wow, I didn't know rats drank beer and played dominoes. You know? What are they doing with that, you know? So then I went over and I opened the door. It had doors that opened backwards, and I opened the door, and when I did, they had about 200 rats just poured out of it. Everywhere. So I just froze and let them go where they went. I have no idea where they left, but they left. And then I shut the door and I drug the car out in the sunlight and I could look at it. So then I started running my hands on the fenders of it and around the hood and everywhere. And it's like, wow, this is a 35 Oldsmobile and this thing has got a great body on it. It's got potential. And I started getting the boxes off of it and getting everything. All the windows was knocked out of it. The headlights was broke. No tail lights. Anything would do with lights was gone. The whole interior, the rats had eaten every bit of the material in it, except on one door panel, they had a little strip about that big with the original pattern on it. So I pulled it out of there. I brought it home, and I got it to my house. And was going to start it. The gasoline was contaminated. The cylinders was froze up. I took the spark plugs out, put some marble mister oil in there. You old car guys will know what that is. But I put that in there, and I let it set for a couple of days. And I went out there, and my grandson came over, and I said, come on, I need you to help me. So I got my garden sprayer with pure bleach in it and a pressure washer. And I took all the interior out of the car, and I sprayed everything, pressure washed it, cleaned it good. By that time, the oil had got past the rings, and it was getting ready, and you could hit the starter, and it would roar, 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 roar. It's like, we're going to run. So I overhauled the carburetor, cleaned the gas tank, everything. Everything was contaminated. And I'm saying this for a reason. Just go with me, but try to remember some of it, because it's got a point and a reason to it. But everything on it looked like it was pretty well hopeless. But I still had a vision for it, because one thing, I had already got my money for my truck tied up in this thing. Now, I got to make it run to make everything happy at my house. So I'm looking at it, and it's like, I'm going to get this thing done. So I got it going, and I told my grandson, I said, come on. So after I built my house, I had some 2x12s left, and I made a seat for it to sit on, put the seat in it, and him and I got in there, and we cranked it. Cranked it up, and it started smoking really bad. Then it would run hot. It would boil the water out of it, just spewing everywhere. And it's like, wow, we got a long way to go. So I said, okay, let's bring it back. So I brought it back to the shop. And then I started restoring it. I took the material that was in there, and I went and bought new, better material than they had in 1935. And I started upholstering the whole inside, the top, the seats, new padding, everything. I put all new glass in it, all new rubber around it. Then I took the motor and overhauled it, got it where it would run right, got it where it wouldn't run hot. But before that, I went and drove it about 2 days, and I figured out that it would get just about 20 miles per quart of oil. Not gas, oil. You put a quart, you go 20 miles, you better stop somewhere and put some more in it because it's going to be dry before you come back. And it smoked, and it banged, and it bounced, and it did all kind of weird things. But when I started going back to it, I started bringing it back to date, fixing things that needed to be fixed. And I got it going to where at that time I had changed all of the windows, all the lights on it, all the tailpipe, fixed the motor where it had good compression. It stopped smoking and it stopped drinking at the same time. That some of you don't know what I'm talking about. It'll come to you in a minute. But it stopped all of those things at one time. And then I got where I could drive her down the road. And I called her Miss Daisy. And I would go tell Janice, I'm going to drive Miss Daisy. So she knew exactly where I was going and what I was going to be doing, because I was in that car. And I would do that. And I got to thinking about it. It's like, well, how is that going to relate to me? How is that going to relate to the church? And I went to sleep one night and I woke up out of a dead sleep just like that. And I began to think about it. And it's like, you know what? I was just like Miss Daisy. When the Lord found me, I had some good things going on in my life. But by and large, I was lost and I was undone. My windows, my spiritual eyes were broken out. I couldn't see. I couldn't do what I needed to do as a person. I had come to a place where I had been pushed into the corner. And by and large, all of the cares of this life, the boxes of my trash and everybody else's trash was piled on top of me. And all of the dirt that was there. And I smoked and I drank just about as bad as Miss Daisy did. And it's like, you know what? If somebody had not saw Miss Daisy and had a future for her, it would have never happened. She would have rotted down to nothing in that old barn. Because they were going to tear that barn down and they could care less about that old car. But I saw something in that car that was of value. And I said, I'm going to make it work. And I'm going to make a good car out of that. And I'm going to do it. And then I could almost see the hand of God looking at me one day. And he says, I see where you are. And I see what's going on in your life. And I have a purpose for you. And I can make you something if you will just let me do that. And some of you may be here today. And you may be just like Miss Daisy, stuck off in a corner somewhere. And everybody else's trash has been piled on top of you. You may feel dirty and unclean. Your windows may be knocked out. Your interior may be ripped out. And you may smoke and you may drink. You may have a lot of things, baggage with you. But I want you to know one thing. Today, God has got a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. You're here because God put you here. And if you've already been there and done that and you know what I'm talking about, then you can take what Miss Daisy has to say and you can incorporate whatever you do in your life. You see, I just happen to have a gift and a calling to build things and to restore and bring restoration to it. You may have a different calling on your life, but God can still use you. And no matter what you do, if you hunt, if you fish, if you cook, if you breathe, God has got a plan for you to touch a lost and dying world. There's a Miss Daisy in everybody's garage somewhere. And it's up to us as Christians to find out where they are. You know, Ben just got up here a while ago and they shared about a vision about touching people that need a touch from God. People that don't have people to come and love on them and care for them and share the gospel with them. We want to get incorporated in a system like that to where we'll be a part of the body of Christ that reaches out. How many of you know that Jesus, when he was here, he reached out to everybody? He didn't just hand pick a few. Now, he did his disciples, but he reached out to every person on the face of the earth. In fact, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means me and you. That means you might be just like Miss Daisy. That means your neighbor might be like Miss Daisy. And it's going to take somebody like us as Christians to get enough brain going to say there's value in that person. There's something good about them. How many of you have had people in the last year say that really come and really annoy you? They're obnoxious about the way they act, the way they talk. They're filthy mouthed. They do things that's irate, and you see that and say, oh my, here they come again. You know why God put you in that place? He wants to show you that that is a Miss Daisy. Y'all getting quiet on me here. He wants to show you that's Miss Daisy. And when you see all those things happening like that, that ought to open up a missions field for each and every one of us and say, boy, this person needs help in everything that they do. Because I was like a Miss Daisy at one time. I was obnoxious. I was a cursor. I mean, it took me 6 months after I got saved to learn how to talk like a human being without cursing somebody out. Are y'all here? I know y'all didn't have that problem, but I did. I mean, I learned to cuss, and it's like, why did I learn that? Why did I learn to smoke? Some stupid things that I did in my lifetime. But God saw a possibility to deliver me from that thing. Amen? Not to restore me, because if He'd have restored me, I'd still be smoking and drinking and bouncing along. Amen? But He saw something better. He wanted to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. And that is to bring me to a place of restoration. Something that never was. How many of you know before you were a Christian, you had a body and a soul? You did not have a spirit. But when you were born again of the Spirit of God, then you became a three-part person. Body, soul, and spirit. That tells me that now you are something that never, ever was before. Because you are a new creation. And that word creation literally means something that never was before. Now it is the things of God. Amen? Because now restoration has came in our life, and we're a three-part person now. And now we have something that we can give to other people. And I like that. But anyway, when the Lord found us, that's where we were. But you know what I did when I realized that? It's like, wow. I was thinking, it's like, now how is this story going to work? And I said, okay, let's go back to the beginning. When I found the car, I saw a picture of it. I heard the good news. I saw the possibility. I had a love for that car. I wanted to see it. I wanted to go get it. I wanted to touch it. I wanted to buy it. I wanted to do something with it. So I sold my truck, which was of a great price, to go get that. And I thought about that, and it's like, you know what? God saw us in our dilemma, and He gave a great price for us. Because He saw us and knew that there was a possibility for something to change in every one of us. And He loved us. He wanted to come. He wanted to come and touch us. He wanted to fellowship with us. And He gave everything. You know, I just gave a Dodge Dakota pickup truck. It was all I did, all I sold. Gary bought the thing. You know, Gary, it was a good truck too, wasn't it? He bought it from me. But I needed the money to go buy something. So I gave a price that I didn't have for something that I wanted. And God gave a great price for you and I because He wanted us. He wanted to have a relationship with us. So He gave. Isn't that good? And then it's like, now I got it. I got to get all these boxes off of it. I got to get all these rats out of it. And I thought about my life, of all the baggage that I had that was on my own back. And all the dirt that was in there. And all the rats that had came to eat the inside of us up. Then I thought about the Word of God where He said that He came to give us life. And to give us life more abundantly. And He wants to change us from the inside out. Not from the outside in. See, Ben was talking about younger people. You know, I'm still 14 years old. I'm just wrapped up in an old man's body. You know? But there's something new inside of here that God has put within each and every one of us because He wants to use us. He sees value in us. And He wants us to come and to be in fellowship with Him. Then I thought about, it's like, well, the windows are knocked out of Miss Daisy. She has no windows. She has no lights. She can't see. Her tires are flat. Then I thought about that remnant of interior that I had left over. Because I cut it out of that door panel and I put it in an envelope, put it in a drawer that I got at home. And I took it out one day and I was looking at it and it's like, God's got a remnant too. He's still got a remnant. And He's going to take that remnant, that real church, not the people that just show up in a building and do nothing, but the people that are really born again, that want to do what God wants them to do in their lives. God has got a remnant of those people. Amen? And I hope you're one of those remnant, because He's got a remnant that He will use in the days that we're living in. And He's got a pattern, if you will. He told the children of Israel, He says, if you'll do these things, I will bless you. If you do these, you're going to be cursed. But He says, I have a remnant of people that will always follow me. I want to be in that remnant. Amen? Then I began to think, well, what did He do with those, what did the lights? And then I got to looking at the scripture, and it says that we're led by the eye of the Lord. And it says, and He will take the salve of the Holy Ghost and rub our eyes. that we can begin to see. Then I thought about the flat tires that was on Miss Daisy. And it's like, you know what? The tires on a car is like a shoe on a person. That's their shoes. It's their tires. And it's like they can't go when they have a flat. And we can't go unless we're prepared with the gospel to go bring that. That our shoes will be shod with the preparation of the gospel to go bring it. And it's like, wow, this is parallel and so good. And then I got to thinking, it's like, well, what else is in there? What else is in there that we need to do? And then I thought about that Marvel mystery oil. Because that motor was froze up. It had not ran in 14 years. And I look around today and I see Christians that have not ran. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And sometimes longer than that. They might exist, but they're not running. They're not excelling. They don't really have the power. And the power comes through the oil with no compression. And I thought about the rings. It's like, I got to put some rings on this car. Rings, for you guys that don't know, that's the thing that goes around the piston that makes compression, keeps it from burning oil. And it goes up and down, and you get your compression stroke. You get your power out of new rings. And then I thought about that ring, and it's like, wow, God has put a ring on my finger. He put a ring on my finger, and He gave me authority. He gave me power because of what He did. He put the ring on my finger, and He says, I give you authority to do these things. And then it began to make more sense, and it's like, well, Lord, what about these seats? He said, I've also given you a seat to sit in heavenly places. And it's like, whoa, Miss Daisy's looking better all the time. And I began to grow and just understand more about what to do. And then I remember pouring that Marvel mystery oil in those spark plug holes and getting that compression to come up enough to get it to start. Then I started thinking about the oil of the Holy Ghost, how He comes, just like this morning doing worship service. I don't know about you, but I got oiled real good. That Marvel mystery oil, but it's not a mystery because it's Him. It's called the Holy Ghost anointing. Comes and He gives it to us and gets our power. He gets our compression up. He gets our joy up. He gets our life going. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying here? We're talking about doing revival. If we're going to do revival, we got to have things that will operate. We can't be dead sitting in a corner with a bunch of boxes and dirt on us with our lights and windows out and our flat tires. We got to have something that brings life to us. Amen? So, He opened our eyes. He gave me the gospel to put on my feet, just like I put tires on Miss Daisy. By the way, she had a spare tire in her that was 65 years old, the original spare tire. And it still had the original air in that tire. Now, it was as hard as this thing right here. I would have never tried to drive it, but it was there. And I got it going. Amen? I can remember those boxes that I saw on Miss Daisy. And I can remember the scripture said, what Jesus said. He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you rest. I started taking those boxes off of Miss Daisy, and I started wiping the dust off of it. Then I brought it home, and I washed it, and she looked pretty good. That is original paint on that car. It's 67 years old. It had a little surface rust on it, but even the pinstriping and all on that car was all original. Everything, even the dashboard was wood dash. And it was perfect shape. Everything on it was really nice. And I was thinking, it's like, you know what? She's got character. She's got everything that she needs. And she's old. I drove that car. After I did everything to it, I would drive it down the road. Now, I didn't take the character out of the car. Now, how many of you know that you have a character that's ingrained in you since you were born? You are who you are. And we need to understand that I am who I am by the grace of God. I am not somebody else. I am me. I don't try to be Brother Terry, and he don't try to be me. I don't try to be like you, and you shouldn't try to be like me. Now, we can mentor one another. We can help. We can encourage one another. But I am who I am. I mean, that's why I stutter sometimes. That's why I say words that you don't know, because I know them and you don't. I've tried to explain that to y'all already. But I am who I am, and I can't help it. But I know one thing, I'm different because He's made me different. And so are you. You have character. And I would drive Miss Daisy down the road, and she would bounce. It's got a big old rocket ship for a hood ornament. I don't know if you can see it, but it's about that long, and it's a rocket, just like a real rocket would be. And I'll never forget one time I was at the Walmart at Zachary. Janice wanted to go, so I brought her, and she's in there, and I'm sitting in the car. Well, these two ladies come out of the store, and they said, they were talking to one another. Look at that old car. Look how cute. Look at that thing. What is that thing? That looks like something out of another world. They never saw anything like that. And they never saw me sitting up in there. So I'm sitting in there just minding my own business, and they walking around looking at it, kicking on the tires. And one of them reached up to touch that rocket on the hood. And this thing had a horn on it that sounded like a freight train. And when she reached up and touched that horn, that rocket on the hood, I blew that horn. And both of them, they were slapping one another and screaming. And I was sitting there, and it's like, I shouldn't have done that. It sure was fun, though. And she said, what did you do that for? I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. It was just one of those things. I said, would you forgive me? And she said, yes, I will. But anyway. But Miss Daisy, you could drive her down the road, and she had some weak shocks on her. So she would just float along, just bobbing along like that. And it was a venture to drive this car. I mean, after all I'd done to it, it was still an old car. It had some slack in the steering. When you get ready to turn there, you better start here. You just go ahead and start winding, because you're going to take a while to get over there. She didn't have a heater. If it was cold, you better bring you a blanket. I kept a blanket in the back of it when I got cold. It didn't have air conditioning. You roll all the windows down and open the vents and flip them around, and it would almost blow you out of there. She didn't have a radio. If you wanted music, you better sing. She didn't have a lot of the things that we got, but she had character. She is who she is. And I tried to keep that character in her, and that's exactly what God does in us. We don't have a radio in us, but we got a song in our heart. Amen? We don't have a lot of things. If we're hot, if we're cold, we need to get one way or the other. You cannot be lukewarm. Either get hot or get cold, but get going. Amen? There's a lot of things that relate to that as Christians that we need to understand about Miss Daisy, because it has meaning to everything on it. Listen to this part. He says, he's restoring us to his image. That is something that has never been, as far as human beings know. He's taking out the old and putting in the new. He forgave us. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He stripped out the interior. That's the past of our life. That is that thing that was on the inside of every one of us. And he does not want us to go back. The Apostle Paul say, forgetting those things that are behind me, moving towards the goal that God has got for me? See, there are still too many Christians that are living on the past. I bring up the past in my life once in a while just to let you know where I came from, because I want you to thank God that he delivered me from there to where I'm going. Amen? And I respect you the same way when you tell me of things in the past. But there are people that will tell me things of the past, and they're still in the past. That's sad for a Christian that's 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years old and should have been set free and let God do some great things in their life, and they're still living locked up in the past. All they have is a remnant of the past, and their whole life, their whole future, everything is locked into that one mode. Church, we got to get rid of the past. We got to come and say, you know what? God's got some new things for me. He wants to put some new interior in me. And it's time for me to turn those things loose and move on to be everything that God's got for me. Amen? He's cleaning our intake fuel. That contaminated gas ruined that carburetor. It ruined that fuel pump, and it ruined the gas lines, and it ruined the tank. Contamination. And you know what God wants for us? He wants to uncontaminate our fuel. And you say, what are you talking about? Fuel is what takes that fuel and runs it through that engine to give it power. It's what you give that carburetor is what gives it power. If I had to ask you today, what contaminates your life? What are you feeding on today? Are you feeding on garbage? Are you feeding on things that you shouldn't be? Are you watching things that you shouldn't be? Are you listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to? If you're doing that, then you're contaminating your life. You're coming to a place to where you're setting yourself up for failure. Anytime that pornography comes in, anytime that wrong thinking begins to come in your life, you're taking in the wrong fuel. Can I get a better amen in that? You know what we're supposed to be taking in? Is the Word of God. The Word of God. Brother, the Gideon Bible helps us to do that. It helps us to read that Word every day and to put fuel, if you will, into our system. It helps us to come to that place and to worship God, the Word. And another thing is the fellowship. When you fellowship with people that are of like-minded, you will learn things that you need to know. There's some of you that might have got saved and you might read your Bible, you might go to church, you might come in here and worship. But you pretty well cut yourself off with people. Because you don't want them to know much about you. You don't want yourself to know much about them. And I have learned, that's why I'm so transparent up here. Because one thing that I am going to be, and that's part of my character, is to be transparent with you. If I'm hurting, I'm going to tell you about it. If I got something going on in my life, I'm going to tell you about that too. Because I'm crying out just like you need to be crying out for help. Amen? We all need to come to that place of what is it that we feed on? What is it that we come to? We need to let God do a clean out on our fuel intake sometimes and just say, Lord, I do have some things that I probably don't need to have in there. Help me with that. Replace that with something very good. Giving us power. He's already given us power through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us authority, that dunamis power. That's that word translated in English, literally means dynamite. If you've ever watched dynamite go off, I mean, it is very explosive. God wants us as Christians to have that same dynamite spirit within us. Not that we blow up with people, but we blow up with the things of God. That we have that power and that authority. Have discernment to know the difference between good and evil. How many of you know we're living in that age right now? The world is calling good evil, and we're calling evil good sometimes. And we need to stop and say, you know what? We need to call evil for what evil is, and we need to call good for what good is. Amen? That's the spirit of having that dynamite power invested in your life that God is already putting in there. He's putting in a new interior. He put a new heart within me. You know, most of you, some of you may be visiting today, but most of you that are here, you've already heard that in my life, to where when I was growing up, I couldn't stand people. I didn't want to be around people. I was a loner. I learned how to live by myself ever since I was 12 years old. I had zero love in my heart for anybody. And when I got saved, God began to show me how to love people, how to care for people. How to have compassion for people. How to watch other people and see what they need. Because when you're self-centered and it's all about you, you will never see that in another person. You only see it in your own life. And that's when God gives us a new heart and He gives us compassion for people. And that's why when I see you guys, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to pop your eyes out sometimes because I love you. I'm not trying to put the make on some of these women. I'm not trying to be weird with some of the guys. But I love you. And I've sensed that love back from you. And that's what God has done. That is a new creation that God has put inside of me. A new heart. And we all need that same heart. And you can back up all you want and say, well, I'm just not one of those kind of people. Well, get to be one. You might like it. You might find out that somebody will squeeze you and pop your eyes out. Amen? Let's move on. Your mind. He's putting in a new interior. He's changing our mind. Our very thinking. Now we think with the mind of Christ and not our own thinking in what we're doing. Our feet shod with the gospel. He's changing our lights in the windows of our soul. He's taking the eye salve and He's rubbing it on our eyes. We are all a picture of Miss Daisy. Whether you like it or not, every one of us is a picture of Miss Daisy. Or either we have a Miss Daisy that might live at our house. Or we may have one at our neighbor's house, or one that you work with. But there's a Miss Daisy on every block. There's a Miss Daisy everywhere. And if you haven't come to that place till you realize what can you do to make a difference in this world, you haven't really had the joy of taking Miss Daisy and restoring her and bringing her to a place of victory. Amen? Now, we have a video, I think. That's going to come up like right now. Here it comes. Now, this is Miss Daisy. Before I started working on her. You can see she's got a bounce and she smokes. And she was drinking really bad there too. See her smoking? That's just a little picture of what God does to us, you know. I don't care where you are. God will take you. And every now and then he has to put us in his garage. But when we come out of that garage, we're going to be different. I mean, that thing went in there black. And that's not the same car. Most of you know that, you know. But I just did it for an illustration. But we come out, then we come out Porsche red with a 500 horsepower Chevy motor in it with air condition and heater and electric windows and all the stuff that's there. That's what God does to us if we will just let him do it. Why don't the worship team come on up here? Amen? So I want, you know, some of this stuff might have been fun, but it's a lot of seriousness there because there's a lot of people hurting. And if you want prayer today and you want God to do some restoration, not just restore in your life, but you want God to bring you to a place that you've never been in your life. And you're just coming and saying, Lord, I want to come in the garage today. I'm going to drive in that garage with just like I am with everything that's within me. And I want you to do the work that needs to be done. And when I come out, I want to come out with a freshness, with a newness that I know you, that I can be used of you, that I can see your hand of mercy and your grace as you touch in my life. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to open the altars today. If you're here, if you're sick in your body, if you need just prayer, you need a word of encouragement, I want you to come down here. If you want to go in that garage and let God begin to do something, that's a good place to start in a prayer closet and just say, God, I want you to come. I want something changed in my life. God, I'm tired of living the way that I've been. God, I want something new. I want something fresh in my life. I'm just tired of the same old, same old. I want to have that freshness, that fire of the Holy Spirit that we sang about this morning. And I want that to make a difference in my life. I want you to come. Come on. Begin to come on right now. Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
I want some of you to normally come and pray. I want you to come and stand by these and let's begin to minister to them and pray with them right now.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for oh, I want to see you. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes.
Father, for you. don't y'all extend your hands up here towards these that are being prayed for. Father, we come again, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Lord, we thank you that you saw value in our lives one day. Lord, we thank you that you paid a great price, Lord God, and you washed us with your blood as clean as we could ever be, Lord God. Father, we thank you for these that have come today, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would heal and touch, minister to them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord God. Encourage them, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We give you glory and honor, Lord God. Lord, we worship you today, Lord God. As we lift our hands, Lord, we just want to tell you, Lord God, have your way in our lives, Lord God. Bring us to a place. Let a restoration happen in each and every one of us, Lord God, that we would be something that never was before, Lord. We'd be better than we've ever been, Lord God. Not on our own works, Lord God, but because of what you've done, the great price that you paid already, Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need to go, I know it's a little bit late. I apologize for that. But once you go ahead, if you need to go ahead and do that. Hug a few people. These people are getting touched and ministered to right now. So remember them and don't give up. If you still need restoration, he'll still do it because he loves you. He cares for you. Thank you for coming.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.